Log Talk Radio.
Can I get 20 on 16? No offense.
You ready? Let's do it.
Blood.
Yo, the game was pretty good. I mean, I just really I enjoyed that game, not because they won. It's just because people really thought that Cleveland was like untouchable. And the thing about it is, you know, it wasn't a level of like where their defense was causing things to go on like that. It was just poor, like, shooting performances going on between other teams. But
yeah, true.
You know, so I'm like, what's going to happen when they play Westbrook and Durant or Golden State? They don't go through scoring droughts like these kids did. Come on. Detroit. Atlanta. Really? Y'all jumping up and down over those teams? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, yo, the game definitely had its ups and downs, and at any moment it seemed like Cleveland could get back into it, and then, boom, they would just blow up the score again, yo. It was just, like, crazy. I mean, one time they got it within 7, then they blew it back up. One time they got it within 5, they blew it back up.
Yo, was it just me, and to be honest, or... they were, like, calling some things that wasn't real.
Yeah, it was a lot of hokey-doke calls going on. It was a lot of hokey-doke calls going on. It was unreal. I mean, but it's been many a games in these playoffs that's just been, like, what are the refs doing?
Right. Did you see that one play where it was – I think it was Carroll and Tristan Thomas or whatever his name.
Yeah.
And he hit LeBron, and LeBron flew like 30 feet on the floor like this was the Matrix. Yo, I'm like, yo, what happened? And I look at it, it's like, yo. I was like, yo, I'm about to take the award away from Leonardo DiCaprio. And they need to give it to LeBron James.
Yeah. That's what I was just about to say, yo, man. That, yeah, man, he was really acting it out. Let's see. You're right. He slid like 10, 15 feet.
Yeah. I was sitting up there like, I'm waiting for Morpheus to come out. I'm waiting for Neo to come flying over this, you know? I'm like, are you serious right now? This dude slid back like 1,600 feet. I'm like, what are you doing?
Anyway,
this is another Real Sports Show. Good, Neo. It's another Real Sports Show. We're getting it in on this Sunday afternoon. I think Rick must be out in Oklahoma City. Still on this flight or whatever. But me and Dio gonna hold it down today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How's the weather out there?
It's all right, man. Probably about 60 degrees at one point today. It was cool. You know, a little breezy at times, but it was good.
Oh, that's cold.
Yeah, man, how about down there? How was the weather out there?
It was like 80, 79, 80. Tomorrow's going to be 82. Tuesday's going to be 88. And Wednesday's going to be 90. And then it's going to be hell.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the 80s on Tuesday for us, too.
Oh, gosh. I'm happy, but Lord, I don't want it to get the hot.
Yeah, your ha-ha different. I hate our ha-ha because it's muggy and ha-ha. It's just disgusting.
That's what ours is. That's exactly what ours is. So I had a rough day today, Dio. Okay?
Yeah.
Going out to this job, going in the highway. You know, car feels funny driving. I'm like, maybe I need some air. Look both tires. I'm like, nothing wrong over here. Let me tell you. Tire blew out. It did like the truck tires where the the tread on it just went out.
Gone. Damn.
So, on the highway.
Oh, so, my gosh. That's like
so
the
tube still had, right, so the tube still had air in it, but I can only drive like 20 miles an hour. So I'm driving. Dude, went everywhere. Nobody has my size tire. Walmart. Oh, we don't have that size tire. We have to order it. Huh? Firestone. Oh, we don't have that size tire. We have to order it. Excuse me? You sell tires or don't you sell tires?
Damn.
Who else?
Pet so what you end up doing?
Lord, I went to Akbar. Akbar from Congo. He had my tire. I had to get it used. I was about to get another place, and that was my last resort. And this place, it's in Buckhead, and so I knew something was going on because it's out of Buckhead. Richie area, in case people don't know, Buckhead, where everybody goes shopping, Fitz Plaza, that's where all the ballers would be at. But this, they wanted $300 for one tire.
Damn.
I said, is that tire going to... I asked, I said, can I mate with it and have some baby tires or something? Is it gonna produce offspring? I mean, come on. But Akbar hooked me up. I don't even know his name, but I got his address. He hooked me up $50. Got me a tire and got me moving on. But I was down for 3 hours, man. In all these places, 24-hour mobile tires. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pick up a whole bunch of my size tires and advertise for it.
Put the cost up, man. Like $295, just so you can beat out the $300 dude.
Yeah, but they gave new tires. Mine to be used. And I mean, it was, the only reason why it was that price, it wasn't bad because they was gonna come out to you, change the tire there, and do everything.
Still, can I still mate with that tire?
I know. I was gonna see him. I told him, I was like, shoot, does it come with instructions so I don't have to, you know, get it turned on or something like that after $300, you know? That's like me and Rick talked before, that's like when you go pay for something, you know. I'd rather pay for it than go out on a date and do all this stuff than figure out what you like and everything. Yeah. It's $100. Hook me up so I can go home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying for sex. I'm paying for you not to call me again. I'm paying for when I'm done, I can just get up and leave. And I don't have to figure out, okay, after I'm done, all right, how can I just leave this place? Because I'm really done with what my mission came for.
I don't got to hold you afterwards.
Right. We're going to get back in sports. But, Dio, I ask you a question. I know you've been, you know, I've been married for a while, so I don't know if you can remember. I know you've been together for a while. But do you remember, like, back in the days when you picked up a girl or you know, it was one of those nights it's like either everybody was gone, so you had that definite one that you know you can call, but you don't really like to spend time with her?
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
So the most thing you hated was after you was done, you really just wanted to leave, but you ain't want to feel that rude about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. I think I had one of those. But I know exactly what you mean. Yes, I do, big bro.
Hey, what's going on, Rick? Hey, dog.
Yeah.
Good.
Rick plane must have landed in OKC early, so. We got a member of the Real Sports Show live in OKC to see what's gonna go down today. real quick, before we got on sports a little bit. I hear you comment on the Cavaliers game in a second, but so we can end the topic and get back into sports. Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, sometimes it's late and you get to a club and there's no really fit chicks there good, but you still know you want to get something, so you always have this one definite you can call?
Yeah.
But the only reason why you don't want to call her because you don't want to hang out with her afterwards or hold her or do anything? So we're talking, it's like you take care of your business and you're just ready to go, but you don't really want to be rude. But you're just ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm telling dog, we had to talk before. It's like, that's why you just pay for it. So when you're done, you know, I don't have to kiss you. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to call you tomorrow. I don't have to worry about anything. Boom, boom, boom.
Just kiss you
have
off the door.
yeah,
that'd
be good.
You
what time it is.
Right.
Bye.
Right.
There you go.
But getting on to the game, Rick, what are your feelings of the game last night?
The feeling of the game last night was, what the hell happened to Kyrie Irving? We talked about this before, before LeBron came there, you know, he didn't play any big games. And we know, we going back to college, he was injured with his college career. So he didn't play any big games there either. And it kind of questions, like, when the game and you're playing against an opponent that's going to fight back, does he fold or is he going to come to play? And it's going to be a question now is he a type of person that you can go to war with? But also, those kudos to Toronto.
Right.
You know, they came back and they fought. You know, because I was going, you know, Fritz, if they lost last night, I was going to say, Fritz, you might have been right. I don't see Toronto. Hell no, they don't win a game. But, you know, Toronto came back and they won. You know, they won by 15 points. It wasn't like it was a close game or anything. But they had to respond after those two losses.
When me and Dio were talking, what I said to people before, it was a lot of people was like, oh, Cleveland looks really, really good. And I'm like, well, does Cleveland look really, really good or – the teams they're playing look really bad. I mean, they had close games against Atlanta, but Atlanta couldn't make a big shot. So now you come up against somebody, Lowry hitting shots. To me, that was the difference in the last two games, the first two games they played. I mean, they weren't hitting shots. They didn't keep them out the paint. So you keep them out the paint and you force them to make jump shots. To me, it's a thing where you have numbers for a reason, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first two series they shot lights out, but sooner or later it's gonna average out. You didn't shoot 60% the whole year from the field, so things are gonna average out. You know, that's just how the ball game is. But if you allow LeBron James to shoot, you know, 12 shots from a foot away from the basket, chances are he's going to make all of them.
Definitely. I mean, it's not even a question. But also, though, Frizz, when you look at the aspect of, you know, that Cleveland team, you know, I just never got this, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, they're the team to beat in the playoffs. And I'm just like, I think there was such an overreaction as far as in the Warriors team. And it's just like, yes, they lost a game, but – the series isn't over. Everyone else was just commenting on this one, you know, game one loss, like the series was done with. And then Golden State comes back the second game and puts the beating on them.
And the thing about that first game, Rick, and just looking in retrospect of it, it's like they only lost by a couple of points. I mean, throw away the free throws at the end of the game. We're talking about a 3-point game, 2-point game, and they went what 1-for-10 from the three, and they never do that. So ironically, you know, plus they missed a few. Draymond Green missed the layup.
Mm.
Klay Thompson missed the layup. Harrison Barnes missed the layup. So that's like, I really wouldn't have been too happy if I was Oklahoma City, because Kevin Durant didn't shoot well. We get that. Whatever goes on, but in hindsight, Golden State shot horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Turned the ball over 14 times in the second half, and you're only up by 3 points.
Yeah.
That's not you know, a way. And then, like you said, the second game, Steph went bananas.
Exactly.
Steph went bananas. And, okay, another question. There was a part in the game last night, and D.L. talked about it, where Carroll, I think, and Thompson, Tristan from Cavaliers was, you know, having a confrontation, and I think LeBron got hit in the mouth. Did you see that one?
No. Yeah, at half court.
Yes. And he got hit by his own player.
Mm.
And he flew on the ground like 20 feet. I thought I was looking at the Matrix.
Yeah, he flopped. It was uncalled for his. It was something that Q said to yell. Wait, are you serious?
I did, that's exactly what I said.
He said, "Are you serious?" And it gets to a boiling point. I was like, "Come on, dude! Like, really?" And it takes away from the game, because now you have referees having to go to look at the camera, and they ultimately looked at it and saw that it was his own player that hit him. Wow.
And on top of that, it makes you look, to me, it would make the refs look like an ass, because you're blowing the whistle too fast and you didn't see anything.
Yeah.
You just seen this dude fall to the ground.
Yeah.
And then you want to react because it was LeBron.
Yeah, and there's another thing too, though, Chris. What is up with these flagrant foul calls?
Oh, on Diambe that time?
I'm just saying, just in general, you see these calls and you see it's like sometimes it's like a follow through. It's, you know, for you could be going up for a shot. And if I block, or if you contort your body away and I happen to hit you, it's a flagrant. It's like, how? Like, I thought the letter by the law was flagrant, was more so
malicious.
I'm going out to hurt you when I'm not making a basketball play. Instead
right.
of going for the ball, I'm going for your body. But what if I'm just, you know, it's a follow through, and it's just the way that, you know, our bodies are, you know, contorting different ways in the air, and I hit you on the head, you know, I hit you, and they're just like calling out a flagrant, and they're giving you two shots in a ball, and I'm just like, damn, that's kind of a key possession right there, because you can, on a great possession, you can get 5 points.
5 points, exactly. You could win,
yeah, that's
the whole game.
Yeah.
If you up by 10, and that happens, now you only up by now you got a 5 point swing,
yeah,
over nothing. And I thought, if you really look at it, a few plays before, DeRozier, I think, tried to foul LeBron, and he grabbed him, and LeBron still was able to muscle up the shot, and he made it.
Yeah.
So that's why you do what you do with him, because he's a big body dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know,
you gotta foul him and force him to the. I'm just saying, if you're gonna foul him and force him to the free throw line, yo, you ain't getting this shot up, because I've seen him make too many of those where you do a little soft foul and he still gets the ball up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, to those refs that know when it is a, you know, a sell job, or, you know, when it's actually, you know, a real foul, because you can't one possession you just muscle through someone,
right,
and get the hand one, and then the next play somebody blows you and you just you all the way in the, you know, third row.
I'm glad you brought that up, Rick, about the whole refs thing, because I said the same thing, man. Like,
throughout the whole playoffs. It seems like they've been calling a whole bunch of just crazy calls. And, you know, it seemed like once they hear the crowd roar, they be scared they about to get lynched up in there. And they just be like, oh, okay, let's go to the monitors. Let's go to the monitors. And, like, I mean, some of the things is like, it doesn't even make sense, some of the calls that they've been making, man. It really doesn't.
Yeah, let them play more. That, like, sometimes when you, and sometimes when you got to slow it down and you got to look at replays, it makes it worse than what it, you know, actually looked like.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
of course.
You go all in slow motion. Yeah.
Frame by frame.
You know,
yeah, and it's so different when you jumping up in the air and you going coming down. That's like 2 seconds. And then, you know, when they slow it down to 12 seconds. Like, you can start to, you know, move your body in a different way. It doesn't move like that. It just doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, it's always up to interpretation as far as what rep you're going to get, because then it slows down the flow of the game. Just like you said, for the team could be up 10, but they could be on a, you know, 10 where they're moving, and that slows their body down. It, you know, it gives the other team another timeout, you know, chance to regroup. And it also, too, though, is that let it happen again. It's happened again 5 minutes later. It's like, oh, damn, here we go again. Slow up the process.
Right. And if that game got away from Toronto, I think they legitimately would have had a complaint like this is ridiculous at one point. You know, you don't, and you definitely don't call it at the other end, because DeRozan was getting hit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like, so what's the foul? Same thing like in baseball. Day to day, game to game, what's the strike zone?
Yeah.
You know, so what's the foul? Is it different at the other end than my end? Is it different because, you know, they have LeBron and we're semi-superstars? What's the difference?
No, definitely. I mean, you know that is the case. And, you know, definitely they're going to sway, especially in the playoffs, they're going to sway more foul calls to, you know, a particular player and his team. And you're just like, wow, you can't give that on the other end. You can't,
right.
And that's just always, and it just amps up during the playoffs.
Right. You hit on the key thing too that you talked about with Kyrie Irving, and I said the same thing with even Kevin Love at one point throughout the game too. He was MIA a lot, and especially on defense. And like I said, the first two couple of games, I didn't see like Cleveland having this defensive, you know, monstrous on a game like people were saying. I just seen like Detroit not being able to score, missing wide open jump shots, you know, and even Atlanta, we talked about it so many times, that one person not being able to shut the game down or not being able to make a play when they need a play, you know, and that's why you lost. I don't contribute it to it was a defensive stand, you know. So if these teams are starting to make shots, like Lowry, the first half, they shot well. Second half, nobody hit anything. But if you're hitting shots, it's a whole different ballgame. And to me, I've always said this about LeBron James, is when they don't need to make, when he doesn't need to make a shot, oh, he looks like his jump shot is wet and always there. But when they need 3-pointers or something like that, it was different. Kyrie Irving couldn't hit the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But when they was up by 20 points, you know, if you miss, so what? So what at that point?
And, yo, the thing about it, though, is that, like, Love, Kyrie, and others, what they have to recognize is this is the playoffs. And, you know, as we know, the role players play better at home. And the stars have to play. You got to bring it every single game. There's no time for a layoff.
Right.
You know, there's no time for a layoff, and that's the same thing what Toronto learned, and they know that, like, when you're role players, they feel comfortable, and that's why they're role players. They feel more comfortable when they're home. rather than when they're away. That's why you see the eruption from a Biombo. He grabs 26 boards. He's back in Toronto. You know,
right.
We're back in Toronto. And the same thing goes for, you know, the Cavs. They can't afford for Irving to shoot, what, 3-for-19. He has to play a better game.
You are 100% correct, man. Like, I remember at one time they showed the stat up on the TV. Irving and Love was like 3-for-20. Like, and Irving alone was 2-for-15. Like, it comes a time where you got to, like, do something. Like, if you're not hitting, your shot's not going in, you got to get other people on the team involved. You got to do something else. Like, you maybe give some more of those shots to Love. Let him get loosened out early in the game. Like, something got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Something got to get. You know what I mean? You can't go 2-for-15, and you ain't making other people on your team, you know, better.
Well, the biggest thing what happened too was, I mean, Diambe at the rim. He had a lot of blocks. I mean, and assists. I mean, just his presence alone, he set the pace. In the first quarter, it's like y'all not getting anything down here. It's not going up. And you got to remember, they won those two games. With, you know, if you look at it before, they had almost 60 points in the paint the first two games. This game they had, you know, maybe I think 30 or 23. It was really, really low. So you force them to hit jump shots. You almost do what Golden State did with them and what San Antonio did when they was on in Miami. It was like, okay, LeBron, we'll let you score 38 points. Nobody else is scoring. Because unless you're going to drop 102, and nobody's ever done that besides Will, that's not a recipe for success. And we've seen how it played out over the last 2 years in the finals when they played a LeBron James team, and I fight with people all the time. This team is so similar to the Miami Heat team.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. It's almost the same. You know, you got Dwayne Wade. Even if you're saying the L, back, knees, that's the same as a Kyrie Irving. But I will give Dwayne Wade the upper edge. I'm just talking about while he's hurt. And Kyrie Irving being younger, so that's what I'm saying, plays out like that. But Chris Bosh, it's way better than Kevin Love in this spot
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago. So what changed? Are you talking about Dellavedova? Who are we talking about? J.R. Smith? J.R. Smith is always going to be that J.R. Smith. It just never changed. He's been playing in the league for how long? And people are like, he's a deadly weapon. When is he going to be that deadly weapon? During the regular season when you really didn't need it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, game two, Shumpert catching alley-oops and everything.
Yeah.
Keep him out the paint. Keep him out the paint. Force him to hit the jump shot. They shoot a certain percentage anyways. They've been shooting it that way for the whole season. Live or die that way. I would never allow them to beat me down the middle doing layups and dunks. Never.
Hell no.
I'll go to a zone. I'll straight go Syracuse on you.
and you know, I think Lou alluded to saying he should have run a place for LeBron, and I think that's definitely. I mean, maybe within a game, things get to a point though where it's like teams are going to key in on that. Say, okay, look what happened last year in the finals. LeBron did his thing, but no one else did anything else.
Exactly.
And if you're LeBron, you know, he can do all that average triple doubles. He can average 40 points. And still, if everyone else has to respond. And also, too, he's 31. Like, let's not forget that. He's not 25. And you know, his body can't handle all that. And that's what I think that's what some people tend to forget is that he's getting up there as far as age.
Right. You know, and the biggest thing I say to people, too, is like they say, oh, LeBron pushed this Golden State team to six games. To me, it's something different when you're trying to figure out how great you are. I think now Golden State knows they're good. Last year, they probably thought they were good, and after they won the title, we're pretty good. Now they lost nine games, or we're good. You give them that same team without LeBron, without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, I really believe it would be a four-game sweep.
Oh, yeah. They're destroying them. And it also,
I was alluding to, somebody asked me about Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. Now, let's not forget that they haven't been to a final. And if they get to a point where they are in the finals, remember last year, Klay Thompson had a little case of, the jitters or whatever.
Final jitters, right.
And he definitely didn't, respond. And, look at, players like James Harden who, got to the finals and didn't, respond as they should have. And you may never get to that point. So sometimes that atmosphere could be too big for you.
Exactly. So I'm just really looking at people and team, and you know it throughout sports anyways. It's like when you get to that big game and you've been into it so many times, it's a different level. Let's take it to Super Bowl, to Cam Newton. Yeah, you die for that ball. You might not make it again.
Mm-hmm.
What level are you playing at when you get there? It's only one person on that team. When you're talking about Cleveland, that knows how to take that level to another, take his game to another level, and that's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other players have proven that, they understand, okay, this is the Eastern Conference Championship. Okay, yeah, we're on a roll. We must perform like we're on a roll, like we at home. Nothing changes.
Yeah, no, definitely. And maybe granted a loss was good for that team because I just thought that whoever they played, either whether it be the Warriors or the Thunder, they were going to get a rude awakening in that first game of the finals because the East is a different animal than what they were playing in. The West is a different animal than what they were playing in that Eastern Conference.
I don't know if you're looking at any of the teams in the West, being that, say, Toronto gets their big guy back, they might compete a little bit better. But you're talking about Cleveland, Toronto, and then it's almost like the rest of them are – I don't think they will survive out West.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they survive out West. You have Portland, you have the Trailblazers. I mean, that I think would have almost ran through those teams.
Yeah, I just look at the West and you just look at the battle of what they're going to do. And if the Warriors were doing what Cleveland did for the Eastern Conference, I would look at them, in more of a, tough of feet. It's not taking nothing away from Cleveland. It's more so an indictment on the West. The Eastern Conference. It's just been terrible for, the longest period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the West has always been the cream of the crop. The East has always had, that one team that, does dominate. They really didn't have those, they didn't have a Thunder and the Power Warriors and, San Antonio. Something like that. But, game three tonight, and it just seems though that, after, watching game one and you watch game five, game six from the San Antonio series, OKC, you thought that, okay, they found it. And, they found that championship way. And all of a sudden, there you go, they get a bad OKC. You get the Jekyll and Hyde with it. because one, they win, they come back, they down 13.5, they win, and Golden State, where they only lost 2 games in a regular season, you know, and went to the playoffs at that point. So you go there, and you just like, and I my whole thing is what I was afraid of for them was more so, I hope they didn't get content with 1-1. Okay, we stole one.
You know what I don't understand is when they say we came in here and did what we were supposed to do. We came in here and still won. I mean, I thought every game you were supposed to win.
Yeah.
You know, so if you take that mindset, okay, we still won. Now we're gonna go back and forth. It's like when you. They have to keep the same mindset they kept with San Antonio. Okay, if we dazed them, we caught them with an uppercut, okay, they're vulnerable. Knock them out. Knock them completely out. And I get it. They went down. They lost. They got blown out first game against San Antonio. So I know this is not, like, indicative of something they haven't been.
But this is a different animal. This ain't San Antonio.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just going to say that. It's a different animal. So that's what I'm saying. If you felt like you went in there and stole one and you got them thinking, I don't think, you know, that was it. And at the end of the day, I think they were looking for more help than executing. You know,
yeah.
Exactly what happened with Adams is what people thought was going to happen is like, okay, we'll take you out of the game. The difference is we made our shots this time. Other times, the first game, we missed some shots we normally don't miss. We rushed it. We was only down by 2 points, and we had four minutes to go, and we're launching up threes, you know, with 30 seconds on the shot clock without swinging the ball and playing their game. But you see what happened when they played their game, third quarter, Steph, you know, I don't know, ideal Steph. And I just, after looking at that game again, I just don't understand. You had another person that came out, and I don't know if it was Gary Payton or something that came out and talked again about these games and Steph Curry, and you don't know if you're going to give him the credit he deserves. It's like, are y'all serious right now? I mean, for him, he scored, what, 17 points in the third quarter, 15 points in the third quarter? Remarkable. Double team on them, swing the ball around. It's just whatever they did, you know. Screen and rolls was working back then. Do you not think that they coach wasn't going to design a play to help try and get him open? His shot is so quick and his release is so fast. Who was going to guard that?
Mm-hmm.
The
one thing for the one thing I alluded to your point earlier as far as you said as far as the stealing one game. The thing about OKC is it puts the pressure back on you because now you have to take care of business game 3 and game 4. Because
yeah.
If you don't take care of business and they stole home court right back. Now you
right.
have to go back to there. You have to go back there and win a game.
Right.
And that's a scary proposition. That's a scary proposition that you have to deal with when you just say, okay, we stole one, we got one. Now it's okay. Now you have to win this game 3 and game 4 because if it's not going 3-1 back into – if it's not 3-1 going back into Golden State, you know, that was just all for nothing.
Right. And let's just be serious. This last game was played when? On Wednesday? So
mm-hmm.
you're talking about a 4-day rest? We're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's another thing as far as, you know, somebody like Steph Curry, it's you look at, you know, Curry and you're just – it is amazing. I think he scored, what, like 15 points in like a minute and like 50-something seconds.
I said third quarter, but it's even more remarkable how you put it that way. I mean – It's bananas, and like I said, I like good basketball. Somebody asked me why am I going for Golden State. I, you know, they won 9 games, they lost 9 games,
I like to see history, and I yeah. like looking at the Warriors. Are you you can't tell me, I mean, anything different. Draymond Green is a problem.
Yeah.
His game is so ugly, but his attitude is just like great, cocky. You can't deny their team. I'm just sorry. You can't.
Yeah, no, I mean, and also, you know, prison. Yeah, just you know, just like you look at them and you, for like you just laugh and say, just wow, out of just nowhere, you know, he can, you know, in the blink of my eye, you know, they're up, you know, 5. Next thing you know, they're up 23, you know, or at least 20. And you're like, what the hell happened? And that's
right.
And that's how much pressure that he puts on, you know, you as a defensive player. But I looked at game one, and the difference between game one and I think game two was you saw more, you know, play from the bigs. The Thunder's bigs destroyed the Warriors' bigs in that game. I think Adams had like 16 points. You know, Ibaka had some big rebounds, offensive rebounds and blocks.
Right.
And I just think that their bigs came out to play, you know, more in game two. And I just think maybe that was the wake up call that they really needed, because if they were just like kind of sleepwalking.
Right. Right. And the biggest thing when you look at it is Golden State had a plan and Oklahoma City had a plan. Similar to what was going on in game two, if you really realize it, they did feed the ball to Adams and everything, but the defense that was being put on Adams by, I had to give it to him. I think Draymond Green blocked the shot like 3 times or altered the shot. Or, I mean, he got shook after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had, let's go to game one. First half, second half, Russell Westbrook, 0 turnovers. Game two, typical Westbrook, 7 to 8 turnovers. And again, let's just play the numbers. When Westbrook has no turnovers, Thunder is hard to beat. But when he has 4 or 5 turnovers against the Golden State team, you're still going to lose. You got to play a game like you played game one, and you're still going to have to be down the stretch looking to make, you know, just hold them off. Because look at game one with 0 turnovers, the second half, let's throw away the first half. Second half, Russell Westbrook shot lights out. Kevin Durant had a great game for a quarter, besides his last few shots where he just couldn't make them, but that was intensity, defense. So I don't know what you're going to chalk it up to. But, I mean, at one point with about a minute to go, he's talking about a three-point game. So the first game, I still wasn't like, oh, wow, you know, this could be, you know, something to do. It's like, no, Golden State's never done that consecutive game. I didn't think they were going to blow them out in game two. I really didn't think so. But I was about 98-99% sure that they were going to beat them in game two, because they don't usually play like that. So, you know, moving forward, you're like, okay, are you going to take the same game plan as game one? I don't even think that's the recipe, because you're betting on Golden State missing shots and not playing their offense like they typically play. If you look at game two, they swing the ball. It's better when you have wide open shots than when you're coming down and then you're just taking a quick shot. And that's what Steve Kerr was talking about. Like, we took too many quick shots. We didn't move the ball around and find the open shot, play pick and pop, or do anything like that. In game two, you've seen it. You've seen the ball swing. You've seen everything move. And it's just too hard to beat that team.
You hit the nail on the head for Golden State. I mean, OKC can't look for Golden State to miss the shot. They can't bank on that. They can't look at that aspect and say, oh, yeah, we hope they play like they did game one, because then
right.
game two, something like game two happens. So
right.
Klay
Thompson still didn't have a good game, and you got blown out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was more so of a team, you know, I think it was more so of a team game. I think it was more so of, you know, what we are used to, accustomed with a team like Golden State, is that they play team, they move the ball around, and I think we got a lot of contributing factors, you know, in that game. And I think that, you know, players like Kevin Durant has to settle down. I think he had, you know, over 5 turnovers. And
yeah.
He has to relax, because when you get turnovers like that, you look at a team like Golden State, Steph and Clay don't look to shoot, so they don't go like to like take those layups. They're gonna go and they're gonna pull up for that wide open three, because you know what that is? That is a warm up shot.
Right. That's
really
layup.
Like a layup. Yeah.
And real quick, they were on a 3-on-1 fast break, and Steph Curry did pull. I think it was a 2 because he had his foot on the line. But, I mean, that's what they did. It was a 3-on-1 fast break, and he pulled up and hit the shot, and it was, like, golden.
Yes. And I want to ask, I seen a, you know, comment that, you know, Durant says Curry makes a lot of bad shots. Well, he takes a lot. He, you know, yeah, he makes a lot of bad shots. I mean, because he's taking a lot of bad shots, or something around that. And, I mean, was that kind of a backhand comment, or was that – you know, I mean, I think that he was truthful, and I think there's only one player in the league that should be taking those shots. And, I mean, I think it's at a point where Steph Curry is like, I don't think any shot's a bad shot for him.
It's never bad when it's never bad when it goes in.
Yeah, but the thing is with him, man, it seems like they go in more so often than anybody else ever, yo. Like, he can pull up from the halfway mark, and I'm thinking it's going to go in every time he does it.
Yeah. Literally, I'm not talking about – I've seen him in games literally, like, not even the shot clock going down or the half – I mean, not really right past half court, but I'm talking about deep threes. I've seen him shoot deep threes and make them. So
yeah, all the time.
I mean, so when you're talking about somebody that made over 400 three-pointers in the season – what's bad at that point, Kevin? What's bad? I mean, let's just be for real. What's bad at that point, you know, and they lost 9 games? How can you comment on a team that broke the record that Jordan, Michael D. Jordan had?
Yeah, no, I mean, I know, yeah, and I understand that and whatever, but I just think that, I mean, it may be true. It's like, I mean, there's a lot of shots that he takes, and you know, you figure they go in, but you're like, yeah, there's only one player in the NBA that takes them kind of shots. And
yeah,
it's a lot
of shots. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Steph. It's a lot of shots. I've seen a lot. It's just like, and to me, that's the woe factor, because I'm like, why is he taking this shot? Oh, he made that shot?
Yeah.
He made that shot? He's like, oh, he made that shot? So, yeah, with the comments, but see, then again, the only thing you're judging on is if you're saying if it's bad or not. Because if he shoots these shots all the time, it's like saying, like,
right, they can't be considered
that turnaround
bad at
post,
that point.
Right. It's like saying that turnaround post move at the elbow that Paul Pierce kills you with is a bad shot. No, he practices that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he practiced that. That was his shot so much. They ran that into their play. Doc Rivers did, if I'm right or wrong. That
yeah.
Elbow shot that isolated him, and he faded
yeah.
right away. And so his range is just different. So to me, it's like, you know, on your team, that might have been a bad shot. Or for any
uh-huh.
other player, like you said, that might have been a bad shot. But for Steph Curry, I mean, this year has proven it. You know, I don't know how many years we got to go. That's a quick question. How many years does dude have to play at this level, or even at a level similar to what he's playing at? Because let's be for real, I don't know if he can duplicate what he did last year. So if he doesn't duplicate what he did last year, is that something that he's dropped off or what?
I mean, I just think that you may look at it too as, hey, you know, that was his peak. But I don't think that if he was to not hit 400, you know, threes or something like that, I still think that you look at Steph, and I think that he still plays at this level. And I don't know why. What it is for him, like you said, for him, I don't know if it's because he's light skinned, or you know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I just think that there's some people that just love to hate him.
Yeah, and you know what? They had a poll. You know, the talk shows, they're bigger than us, right? You see, Mike had a poll for people that had a problem with Steph Curry, and they couldn't say anything. They just said, you know, won't like, you know, his wife and kids. They just look too perfect. That's the only comment you can say about him, because he's not a hateful guy. You know, that's just too good to be true. It was crazy comments. One person was like, I'm a big Chicago fan. Chicago Bulls fan, so I'm rooting for them not to win the championship because then that season will be null and void. Nobody's saying he's arrogant. His game really isn't good. You know, he's not a team player. But
hold on, Frizz. Null and void. You still go down in the record book. We still look at that 72-10 team and say, wow. We don't look at it and say, oh, well, the Warriors did it, so, you know, that one doesn't count anymore. It's like, it's still an impressive feat. It's definitely still an impressive feat. And also, you look at a team, Frizz, I don't know about the arrogant, Frizz, shoot a three-pointer and then stare at an opponent, that's pretty damn arrogant, Frizz.
I kind of thought when he came back in that game against, you know, the Blazers, and he was like, I'm back. Boom. I'm back.
No, that other shot, man, that was crazy.
What?
Man.
I'm back. So,
crazy.
I mean, like, it's a total different arrogance to LeBron James, though. I mean, you still see the feet where he's still more of in the humble stance than LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I'm just comparing LeBron because, you know, we're talking about him. And the crazy comment he made about it's a difference between greatest player and most valuable player. I still don't understand that to this day. To me, that's the hateful arrogance that I'm talking about. And I'm a LeBron fan. I don't ever think we're going to see another LeBron for some years now. But like I said, he's a baby. You know, and when the attention's not on him, you know, you already know he does. He goes on and starts tweeting certain things just so you can talk about him instead of talking about his team. Where again, they totally made the stupidest mistake by letting Wiggins go and getting Kevin Love.
I mean, ultimately down the road, maybe that will come down, you know, to bite them, you know, bite them in the ass. The Stars are having the ball just different in age. But also, too, is that, I mean, I'm glad to see it being a Toronto fight back because it's really been hard. It's really just like, okay, this is the Eastern Conference. And this is it. There's not like, you want to see. You were at least a long, you know, four games.
Maybe wait, you muffled a little bit.
I said maybe it'll go to six.
Yeah, maybe it'll go to six.
Maybe go to six. Hopefully Toronto can, you know, pull it off. But the only problem that I have with this playoffs is why the hell did we have to wait for game three for Sunday? Why couldn't we see this Friday night? You know,
right. What happened? Like, did they have to fly to Italy or something? No, I didn't understand. I'm talking about Wednesday. Wasn't Wednesday the game? Yeah, Wednesday they played game two. And I'm like, game three is Sunday? Scratching my head. I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Frizz. It's not like, you know, OKC is on the other side of the world.
Right. So let's just get this straight. You play four games in five nights, but you need 4 days off for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't make any sense. I go on record, I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State wins both these games in OKC, but I could see them, you know, winning, you know, this game and stealing back home court. And I look for Golden State to come out and win tonight's game.
I think Golden State's going to win tonight, too. I think it's going to be a closer game, but I think Golden State will win.
We'll definitely see what the results are, and we'll definitely talk about this on Wednesday. You know, thank you all for tuning in, and we out.
Peace.
Hey, Al, you ready? Let's do it.